Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us on Blog Talk Radio this evening. We are live, me and Miss K, on this Monday night for D&K Bible Break. We just want to say good evening to everyone. Hope everyone had a blessed weekend, a blessed week. Also, we want to send shout outs to my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, and Brentwood Publishing. We just want to send a shout out to all of them. Also, for all those that follow us all throughout the week, we just want to say thank you. We got another good topic for tonight, and I just want everyone to be blessed. I want to thank all those that reached out on last Thursday when we gave our scholarship out. We was finally able to do that. We want to thank Praise Tabernacle for helping us in their facility on Thursday night. I was great. I felt great, nervous. I felt great be able to give a scholarship out, another scholarship out to a young lady. And it was just good. For all those people who helped support me do it, I just want to say thank you. I know it wasn't easy with everyone not working and everything, just to help me be able to push it out, to be able to give it into the young lady's hand. We just want to say thank you to all of y'all. We're still keeping you and your families in prayer during this COVID-19 crisis and everything, and hopefully we'll be up and running here real soon. Everyone will be back to work, which we hope and pray that will be soon. Again, I just want to say thank everyone for listening tonight on Blog Talk Radio, or those who are called in on the phone lines, 845-277-9094. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce my wife. She's on tonight, Miss Kay. Good evening.
Hey, good evening. Good evening.
When I'm not, good evening. And when I don't run the switchboard, she has to do double duty from her job and run the switchboard and do her job as well. So I thank the Lord she can multitask, because a lot of people can't. I'm one of the ones that can multitask. So I just want to send a special thanks to her. She did a great job on Thursday night with all the listeners and for all those that listened on Facebook Live. Again, I just want to say thank you and thank you and thank you. I let the music play a little long today because I was supposed to say something, but I just told right before we got on air. Don't say nothing to next week.
You go.
And wait. See, with that little bit of a tease, and then it then got me caught up. And my wife said I can't hold water. And see, I already got a text from her wanting to know, are you pregnant? And we know that's not true. But she just received an accomplishment that she's going to be doing next week. And we're going to hold off till Monday. Just because she wants me to hold off, I'm going to hold off until Monday, the next Monday, to announce what we got going on, what she has going on, because I ain't got nothing to do with this. She got something going on. We'll let everybody know next Monday. But without further ado, I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump right into the lesson for the night. Hopefully it will help or inspire some people, because that's what we're here for, just to inspire. Like I said, we don't want to be real deep. We just want to hit the surface of some things, give you something to talk about, give you something to pray about, give you something to work on in your everyday life. As me and my wife, we have to do that almost on a consistent basis with everything that we got thrown at us. We have to stay prayed up. We have to stay in the Word, and we also need that time to prepare. And in that time, preparing to do a lesson together, it's a real treat to be able to go over the Word with your best friend, to be able to learn new things. I learned something that I didn't know going over this lesson, just listening to my wife. So hopefully you guys can learn something too. So we're going to pray, and we're going to open up.
Can I add to that?
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for bringing us to you one more time, Father God. Father God, we just hope that we may not be seen, but your Word is seen and heard, Father God. Father God, we just ask that you just give the listeners that ear to hear your Word, Father God, and not only to hear your Word, but be a doer of your Word, Father God. Continue to strengthen us as, Father God, as we grow and as we grow the way you would have us to grow, Lord. It's not our will, but it's your will that is being done. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And without no further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Kay, and she's going to get us started off with tonight's lesson.
Well, before I get us started, I was going to...
And if I would use the thing, Kay, before you go, it would be, why are you surviving while other people are dying? Go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me when I'm talking? Can you hear me? Hello?
I don't have Kay. Are you there, Kay?
I'm here. I was wondering if you can hear me because I'm here, but you're not hearing me. Okay, y'all, he don't hear me. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but can you hear me?
I hear you fine now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was wondering because I was talking and you just started praying. I'm like, maybe he don't hear me. Okay, so I'm glad you couldn't hear me and you weren't just ignoring me. But I wanted to make a statement. That song that you played that before we came on, God and Me, you know, I was telling you this past week, a lot of the times when, now this is just me personally speaking, when we do the show, after the show, I feel like, oh, Lord, you know, I'm questioning, okay, Lord, did your people get something from anything that we said? It's just, I just want to make sure that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do and that it's helping somebody. And so that song, God and Me, I needed that song because even before tonight, for some reason, I get so nervous and I'm like, I just want to make sure that what we're doing is effective for the Lord and that he gets the glory at the end of the day. So I needed that song. That was a good way to get me hyped. So, okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay,
all right, let's
get into it.
We're going to be coming from 2 Kings, and we're going to be starting at chapter 5. So 2 Kings, we're going to read verses 1 through 16. And it says, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. But by all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? What does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me? When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharmor, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be clean, cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. So we're going to be coming from that passage on tonight. And that passage has like a lot of things in it. So you can pretty much study it, and I'm sure the Lord will give you what he wants you to get out of that passage. But tonight what I wanted to do is like just kind of like give you what I got from it, if I can. So again, I'm not a Bible study teacher, but I did learn something in this lesson, and I really like this this passage here. So I'm going to focus on three different the three characters in this particular passage. So we have Naaman, and we have the servant girl, and we have Elijah. So as you notice in the first three verses, Naaman is all of the adjectives to describe him are given out. He was a respected leader, commander of the army of Syria. He was highly regarded, victorious captain. And what I like to say, he was the HMIC. He was the head man in charge. So he had it going on. Naaman, he had the money, he had deeds, he had everything going on for himself. The problem was he had leprosy. So he had a but in there. He had all this, but he had leprosy. And then you have the servant girl. She's a young girl. Now, this is a young girl out minding her own business. It doesn't say how old she is. It just says she was young. So I'm willing to guess that she wasn't over the age of 18. So I don't even know if she was a teenager or what. It just says young girl. So this young girl is out minding her business, doing what young people do. And she's kidnapped. And she's kidnapped and she's taken to Naaman's wife to be her servant. Now, this little girl, she could have been mad because she was kidnapped. The thing is, she didn't let that stop her from doing what the Lord had her to do. She still had compassion on her master, Naaman. She still had compassion. She just told his wife, if only he would go see a man. He just needed to go see this man to get this cure. She was still looking out for him, even though she could have been full of bitterness because they kidnapped her. But she didn't let that stop her. And then the last person that we're going to be talking about is Elijah. And Elijah was God's prophet to the people. Elijah, he was a man that was, if I can say, doubly blessed. He was a doubly blessed prophet. And I say that because if you go back and you go back a couple books, I'm not sure even exactly where it's found. I should have researched that. But Elijah and Elisha. So Elijah, when he passed, Elisha asked for a double portion of his spirit. And the Lord honored that. So he was a doubly blessed prophet, if I can say that. So he wasn't no ordinary prophet. So these three people are the people that we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm going to let my husband go a little bit, add on to what I'm saying. I just want to give you a brief summary of the people that we're going to be discussing. Go ahead, mister. For some reason, I don't think he's following me tonight. Are you on?
Yes, I'm here. I said that now we're just having big ones. I'm talking to the engineers at the same time as you talking, but we're good. We are good. I just want to say that you set it up so well, and as me being a preacher, there's a lot in there. I'm just going to focus on right now Naaman, who had leprosy, and people were dying that had leprosy. Except everyone was dying except Naaman. Everyone was dying except Naaman. And it makes me think about the world today, just that part right there. And that's why I said surviving what other people are dying from. And a lot of times people go through certain things that don't make it through. And we as Christians make it through. And we wonder, how do we make it through that when you see other people dying? I know a lot of people that were alcoholics that didn't make it. They're clean now, but they were alcoholics at one time. I've seen a lot of people who was on drugs or selling drugs. Lifestyle was not right. And other people, and you know that if you're selling drugs, you're either going to end up in jail or you'll end up dead. Or doing drugs or drinking alcohol. Those are only two places you can end up. But people, the Lord will make you survive, give you something, and you will survive it for his testimony. You will survive it because it's going to be a testimony for the Lord. A lot of people I know that went through divorce, they went crazy. A lot of people got divorced and they got to renew. They're living their life totally different, and it's totally for Christ. It's not a bad thing. People sometimes get diseases and get healed. And some people don't get healed, but the Lord will let them live a long, productive life living with that disease. So what he was surviving, a lot of people were dying from. And I just want to focus on that because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and the Lord is allowing us to survive. And if you're surviving it, we ought to be giving God thanks, praise, and glory. But also in there is a Naaman. You got to understand, he was a little cocky, a little arrogant. He wasn't going to go. And you have to surround yourself around people who are willing to speak life into you, even when things ain't going right, who will tell you what you need to hear, tell you the truth instead of telling you what you want to hear. Because he clearly didn't want to go into the pool. He didn't want to go do it. He sent his servants a message back. And the thing about that is you're going to know how far you're going to go in life. All you got to do is look at the people you're listening to. See, when I talk or people talk to me, I have a group of people I will run stuff by. And I know that they will pray for me, and I know that they will give me what I need to hear. It may not be what I want to hear, but you got to surround yourself around people who's going to help you get through certain issues and not tell me what I want to hear. Because I used to be in that category, being a pastor's child. All these people tell me what I wanted to hear because I was good, I was preaching, you're going to be just like your dad. And no matter what I did, bad, good, or indifferent, they would agree with me. And that hurt me. That hurt me. There was a spiral down I went because they never told me what I needed to hear. Now I'm very receptive of listening to, especially men who are real men. When they tell me something, I chew it up because evidently I need to hear it. And to be a man, you got to listen to a man. And sometimes if they tell you the truth, it ain't going to always be pleasant. It ain't going to always be nice. I'm really excited about this teaching because it shows the human side of Naaman. Go ahead, Y.
What I like about this story, is Naaman, this man had it going on. He had all of these accolades. He had all this material wealth, but he did have a condition that there was no cure for. And what I like about it is that he chose to listen to little old slave girl. I mean, she wasn't nobody with a big name. He was the leader. She was the servant. He was respected, and she was looked at as just someone to pick up the pieces. And, you know, the thing about the little girl in this story, what I like about her is she allowed the Lord to use her, and her faith in the Lord allowed her to help somebody else. So because of her faith, she helped Naaman. And in turn, even though Naaman didn't like what he was told to do because of his arrogance and his I'm above all this and you should be, you know, like I'm the bomb, so you should be wanting to heal me. So he humbled himself to let the Lord cleanse him from his disease. So it's like you have a servant girl who followed the Lord, who had faith enough to know, hey, I know a man that can do ABC. He can heal you. He can cure you. And then you have Naaman, who thought he was all that, humbled himself, listened to a young child, and he got his cure. And what I like about that is God can use anybody at any time. So just because someone may not come in the form or fashion that you think they should come, God can still use them, and we have to be wise enough to listen and pay attention to what's being said because it could be for our benefit. Had Naaman walked away in his anger and said, you know what, forget this, I'm going back to my hometown and just forget it, he would have missed his blessing. And like you said, you need people around you to, you know, hold you accountable. What I like about this is here you have Naaman. He's coming. He got a letter from his king. He got all his money. I'm sure it equals probably today to a couple million dollars. I'm not sure, but I'm sure it equals a lot of money today. He thought with all his money, he thought with his letter, he went to the king of Aram saying, okay, I'm bringing all this. And he's thinking that the king is the one, because the king is the one with the power normally, he's thinking that he's the one that could heal him. But in actuality, it was Elisha. So he had to get in touch with the right person. So not only did Elijah send for him, Elijah sent his messengers to tell Naaman what to do. So I'm sure Naaman is like, hold on, you're not even going to come see me for yourself. You're going to send your messengers to come to me. I'm important. I'm somebody. Surely you can come to me and wave your hand and do all this stuff and heal me because I'm somebody important. And you're sending your messenger. So you know that added to the anger of what the message was that the messengers told him to do. Go dip 7 times. Not even that the water, I don't know the water itself, but from what it sounds like, he's like, hold on, that water is surely it's better rivers than the one you're telling me to go dip in. Like, because he thought he was all that, but he had to humble himself. And in a lot of times what we do is we look for things so grand, so extravagant, oh, jump up and down, turn around, touch your head, run up and down here, do the hokey pokey, do all this stuff, and then God's going to do this. When God is like, no, all you got to do is wash and be cleansed. That's it. Repent, believe, and be saved. That's it. It don't take all that. You just need to follow the directions and be obedient to what God is telling you to do. And he's not asking you to jump through hoops. Just listen, and then you'll be blessed. So, and he didn't take it to where he didn't listen to his servant who's telling him. He pulled his coattail. Look, all he told you to do was this. Just go do this. Why are you getting mad? And you know what? Another thing about that is the people in your circle, they know what type of person you are. So I'm sure his servants knew what type of person he was. They knew what type of person Naaman was. So they like, hold on, all you got to do is do this. And that one little part reminds me of when Nathan told David about himself when he had Uriah killed. And I'm like, you got to have somebody in your circle that's not scared to pull your coattail and tell you, look, what you're doing is wrong. Get yourself together or you're going to miss out on your blessings. So go ahead. I feel like I'm talking.
Amen. No, you're fine and you're setting it up fine because, like you said, he was a little arrogant. And if you look at, and you know, I hate to have to go there, but this seemed like the direction we're going in. It's very important for people in ministry to understand it's not about wearing a certain suit. It's not about wearing the collar. It's not about looking the part because we all have that, but that's where that prestige come in at. And to send someone like me who has no title, according to some folks, how can I, and then I'm going somewhere with this because I actually the other day after we gave a scholarship out, I fell asleep on an associate of mine because he was talking nonsense. And the nonsense is because we hold title. We think that we're above the people. And to be honest with you, we're not above the people. We're on the same level as the people. We're supposed to help the people get to where we're at or above where we're at. So, but a lot of times in churches today, you'll see everyone in the pulpit, they supposed to seem blessed. They supposed to seem holier than thou. And I'm just breaking it down. They supposed to. So how can someone in the pulpit come up to how can someone in the congregation come to the pulpit and tell someone in the pulpit, you need to do this? You know, you will get frowned. You may not even make it up to the pulpit to tell anybody anything because they're not going to let you get up there. And that's where that prestige comes from. If Bishop don't tell Brother Derek you out of bounds, then who I'm going to listen to? I'm not listening to none of the elders. I'm not and see, that's the wrong attitude to have. But we're so we're so into titles and positions and who has more, who has the most money. And can't no one on the pew come tell us anything or what to do. And that's the exact attitude Naaman had. That's the exact attitude a lot of preachers and ministers have. They have that arrogance that can't no one tell them nothing. Even when it comes to running a church, I know that the pastor or the leaders of the church, they're there to guide the church as God guides them, but they have to listen to somebody too. Someone has to tell them certain things. I ain't talking about being foolishness or being ignorant. I'm just saying, you know, because you need help. That's the reason you have to surround yourself around people who's going to help you, who's going to help you get to the next level. And it's very important that we, and when I speak from this, I'm speaking as from leadership, I have to allow myself for someone to be able to say, you're doing too much. You need to settle down. I can't take offense to that because of my title. Now, on the graduation we did the other night, I didn't want to take up an offering. I didn't think it was going to be big of a deal. I just don't do it. It's just something me. It's personal with me. Bless the young lady. It was her night. Bless her. Well, a preacher friend of mine was like, "There, you know, you make it hard because you don't take, you know, we normally charge or we do something. You should take something." And that's where we get into it at. And that's where I got dripped because I didn't want to hear all of that because he's telling me I should do something when the Lord told me what to do. And see, that becomes a problem with me. If the Lord is telling me to go right or go left, and you thinking I should go right, I'm going to go where the Lord tells me to go. And everything the Lord tells me to do is not traditional or religious. It's just not. And I'm not saying we got it like that where I don't need any finances, but at that particular time, and a lot of times, I just don't do it. I'm not saying that everyone should be like me, but when you're following the Lord and you're listening to the Lord, sometimes you're going to do things that's just not what everybody wants you to do. Sometimes you're not going to go the direction everybody wants you to go. People are saying, we should be back in the church now. We should be back in the church now. Well, hold up. Wait a minute now. There's other people whose lives are at stake right now. And the men of God has to hold, they're held accountable for the position they put the church in. So if the pastors or the leaders are not feeling comfortable to go back into the building, you cannot hate on that. You have to be like, okay, and be supportive of it just because it's not going your way. And a lot of times when things don't go our way, we want people to agree with us. Well, no, we should be doing it. We should be doing it and get mad in the attitude. Everything is not going to go the way you want it to go. And what I like about certain leaders is when they buck the system, when they don't do what everybody else is doing, they do what God is telling them to do. That's what I like. So with me saying that, I'm just trying to tell you, make sure you surround yourself around people who's going to hold you accountable, not tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes it's not going to be what you're not going to shout over everything someone tells you. Sometimes you just need to sit down and listen and do what you need to do. And hopefully, with us talking about this, Naaman, who's a man of God, wealthy man, but he had a condition. He didn't know how to deal with it. I ain't mad at him because he didn't know how to deal with it, because at the end, he ended up doing what his servant told him to do because he was following the Lord.
And he was a self-centered person, if I can say that. And a lot of times we have people, it's all about me. It's how I want to do it. It's my way. I got the money. I'm running the show. And it's like, it's not about you. And a lot of times we need to get out of ourselves. We need to, my old pastor in Texas, he used to say it's about I, and a lot of us need to get our I knocked out. So I'm like, he was all about I. It was about him and his money, and because he held such a high position with the area that he was in, he thought he could go and, if I could say, pay his way to his healing. He thought he could, if I could say, by God, like, okay, I got this money, surely God going to heal me. And a lot of times we think, a lot of us think today that if we put enough money in the offering, if we buy somebody some groceries over here, if we hold all these degrees and if we go on these mission trips every year, that's going to be enough for us to make it into heaven. And it's not. You can't buy your way into heaven. Naaman could not buy a cure. And I'm sure he went to so many doctors and he tried many things. And I'm sure this was like his last straw. Let me go ahead and just see if this little girl know what she's talking about. So if he was able to listen to a slave girl, that to me, that sounds like he was at the end of his rope. Like, I'm just going to try anything. And a lot of the times with us trying anything, you know, it could lead to a blessing if we allow it. It could lead to something that's not a blessing. So we have to pay attention to what the Lord is trying to tell us to do. And so with Naaman trying to buy his way into getting healed, it didn't work like that. That's not how it worked. And he didn't like what Elijah told him to do, something simple. And as I said, a lot of us, you know, we try to buy ourselves, buy our way, thinking if we do this, we do that, I'm a good person, I'm going to make it into heaven. Oh, I do this on every Sunday, I go to church, we just have a whole list of I do's, I do's, I do's. That does not mean you're going to make it into heaven. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man comes to the Father unless he goes through me. You can't make it without Jesus. So regardless of what you do, You can have your long list. If you ain't got Jesus, you're not going to make it.
And
thank
another
God
thing
that
I want to say,
to
right, but also just putting right. that too, you know, you can do things, and there are a lot of people in church, I'm just going to put out there, going to hell. Not because you go to church, it's because you don't do it with a pure heart. You're not, you don't have Jesus. You're just doing it as ritual. Well, we're going to go bless the pastor. We're going to go do this. We're going to do that. And all the words that you're getting every time is being preached, you're not applying it to your life. You just think if you bless the man of God that he can pray you into heaven. He can touch you into heaven. He ain't got nothing to do with you going to heaven. I just wanted to make that clear to you. Ain't no one in church got nothing to do with you going to heaven. You got to accept that for yourself. It's a personal thing. That's why every time you go through something, it's personal. It's between you and Jesus. And you can ask for prayer and help and support, and we can be there to help you. But that person has to have that relationship with Jesus. There's a lot of people that give money to churches, donate this, and think that that's going to get them in the head, and it's not. It's just not going to do it. I shared a story with my wife the other day. I don't even know why I'm saying it now. But, you know, the coolest man I know was my father. He had a cool elder board. He had some cool deacons. And one of the deacons went to him and said that they wanted to sell barbecue dinners for the church. Well, my father was totally against that. He said, we ain't out here selling no barbecue. He said, you can sell it for yourself. And if you want to do it in front of the church, that's fine. But, you know, don't put the church name in, you know, going out there. And so a couple of the deacons went out and got grills and would sell dinners every on the weekends, Friday and Saturday, and they would sell ribs. But what was amazing to me was when they was at the church, whatever was needed to be done at the church, the deacons did it. They wasn't the most spiritual people. But they did it. They didn't call the pastor and say, this fence is broke, the kitchen needs this. They just went ahead and did it. And the difference between them and the elders would like to take a meeting. They would see it, they'd write it down, they would call my dad and be like, we got to have a meeting. There were more meetings about nonsense and stuff that just could have been done if you just do it. And what I'm saying is sometimes you just got to do what God is telling you to do without checking all the time. Sometimes the Lord will tell you to do something, do it. And because this woman, this girl, was not in the same circle as he was in, it kind of made sense that what she was saying to him, it registered in her spirit. It didn't come from a big executive person. It didn't come from the elder board or from another. It came from a little girl told him what to do. And sometimes we got to get off our high horses and listen to what some people are trying to tell you what to do. Because it ain't always the people in position. The people in position, especially and I'm not speaking about, I'm just saying a lot of people, because we have titles, think we know everything. And someone on a lower level can't tell us nothing. We need to get out of that and listen. It don't hurt to listen. It don't hurt no one to listen. Now, if it sounds like nonsense, then okay. All right, it didn't hurt you to listen to it. You just move on. But somebody got some stuff that will tell you, that will help you go to another level. And it ain't always someone that got a collar around the neck. It ain't always someone that's super spiritual. It ain't always the bishop or the pastor. We put so much emphasis on who the leader is that he got all the answers. Well, he got the answers if the Lord gives it to him. Sometimes the Lord will give someone else in your circle the answer for you to have it so you can go ahead and do it. Because if the leader got all the answers, he's going to be bombarded day by day by day by day by day. And that's what a lot of people do. It's hard. It was hard for my father to get out of church on a Sunday morning. It was hard. If he said, we're going to have you out by 1, Doc, we didn't get home to 2:30. Because the church was out at 1 o'clock. He had to stay and talk to everybody going out to church. There was just no time out. And that's it's consuming. And yet and still, if the elders, it was funny because the elders would have to talk to him too. Who going to do this? Who going to do that? Who going to do this? And like make a decision. Do something. And other people could make decisions. And then, God forbid, if pastor would make a decision based upon somebody in the pulpit, or based upon someone in the congregation. If someone said we should do this or we should do this, it didn't come from the elder board, then the elder board would feel slighted. And that's another meeting. That's 2 more hours of his time wasted. Because now he got to go and rub their head and make sure they're all right because he didn't listen to them. But they didn't come with an answer. They didn't come with a solution. They just came with the problem. And let's think, what can we do to fix the problem? When a person in the congregation, they gave you the answer to how to fix the problem, but you didn't want to listen to them because they're not on the same level as you. I know I'm talking in, it don't seem like I'm talking in circles, but I'm making a lot of sense. Sometimes the Lord will use anybody. If he can use a donkey, he can use anybody. We have to be accessible Amen. To hear what people are trying to say.
Yeah, he can use anybody. That's the thing. That's the key. We need to pay attention and be led by the Spirit, not with our natural eyes. Because I'm sure if he would have looked on this little girl, he'd be like, little girl, go on somewhere and get out of here. You know, but he looked a different way. And a lot of times we got to get out of our own way. I think I heard somebody say we need to get out of our own way. Amen. So that way the Lord can, you know, do what he needs to do. And it's not about what people look like, what they got on, their position. You know, God can use anybody. So, amen, amen.
I'm just trying, you know, because we're so caught up in titles and so caught up in other things. So we're so spiritually high-minded, we're no earthly good. We're so super spiritual, we're not doing no earthly good. You know, by people that always want to be deep in the Lord. And I shared this story a little while ago. It was during February, my wife's birthday is the same time as the Super Bowl. And I can't say where we was at because they probably got some cousins listening to my show right now. So I can't say where we was at. But I asked a question. Okay. The question was, who do you want to win the Super Bowl? Do you want the 49ers? You want Kansas City? And this person began to go into a deep conversation about if the world would take seriously Christ more seriously like they do the Super Bowl, we'd be in a better world today. And he started going on in this whole lecture. The question I asked is, who you have in the football game? I know you're spiritual and highly favored, but I didn't ask all them questions. But see, it was a turnoff to me because I just asked who you want to win the football game. That was it. He took it to a whole nother level that didn't have nothing to do with the question that I asked. But he wanted to make himself look so high-minded in front of a group of people, like he was all that deep and that serious. And I'm like, well, you go on head over there with that. I can't deal with this right now. I just asked what you want in a football game. Simple. And we try to make living for Christ so hard, where studying the word is hard. It's like you got to have so many degrees, and it's really not that hard. It's simple. Just believe in Jesus. If you just believe in Jesus, you believe what he did on Calvary's cross, you believe he got up on the third day, if you believe he went to hell and he got up if you believe all of that, the rest of this stuff is really simple. We make it hard. We want it to be hard. And one of the things the Lord is telling me to do today in my everyday walk is buck the system. Don't be like everybody else. Everybody want to be all dressed up in nice suits, this, that, and the other. You ain't got to wear a suit. Be a little different. You ain't got to sit in the pulpit all the time. You ain't that important. Now, it's important to show unity. I get all of that. But I'm not all that where I got to be seen all the time, heard all the time. I'm not that important. Now, when the Lord gives me a word, then, yeah, it becomes important. But only until then. And then again, other people got something to contribute because we have to understand, and maybe the Lord's telling me, and we talk about the body, that, you know, you need all your body parts. Because without the body, don't nothing else work. So you need people that's in there. And some people are not on the same level as I am. Don't mean I can't learn from them. Don't mean I can't talk to them. It does not mean that. And to be a man, you got to listen to a man. That's all I'm going to say. And all men come in different shapes, sizes, and different circumstances. I've been in church my whole life. I don't know nothing about the hood. grew up in the hood, but I don't know nothing about the hood. I didn't run the streets like that. I got brothers in them that did, but I didn't do it. So I don't know that life. But maybe they can tell me something that can help me in my spiritual life. And that's all what I'm trying to say. They can help me in some different areas of my life. I can't just, oh, I'm better than you because I don't do drugs. No, it doesn't mean like that. I'm better than you because I ain't got a bunch of kids running around here. That's how we judge them. At least when my neck of the woods, that's how they judge them. But I ain't going to even go there, too. Go ahead, Kay, before you get me going and talking about these other people. Go ahead.
When I was studying this this lesson, what I was thinking, like, if you can just go with me, I'm praying that it makes sense. So here you have Elijah telling Naaman to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. So if you can go with me, make a note. I'm just going to just see if I can a couple things together here. So you have the Jordan River. You have leprosy, and then you have being cleansed of leprosy, if I can say it that way. So if I can, leprosy, what I'm going to equate that to is sin. So we've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. Leprosy, I'm going to equate that to sin. So no matter what the sin is, sin is sin, and there's some sins that you can visibly see, and there's some sins that are hidden, but God sees everything. So I have leprosy, and then I have sin. Now, there is no cure for leprosy. There is no cure for sin. Nobody says, oh, I got cured of my sins. No, you can only get cleansed of those sins by Jesus. And if I can say the Jordan River, I'm going to equate that to the blood of Jesus. So Naaman had to get cleansed by the blood of Jesus to become cured of his leprosy equals sin, if I can say it that way. So without the blood of Jesus, there is no cure. So I hope that makes sense. That's where my brain was going when I was looking at this. Leprosy, that's our sin, any kind of sin you want to name. The blood of Jesus, that could be the Jordan River. You need to be dipped in the blood of Jesus to become clean. So that's the cleansing of that leprosy. So I don't know. Does that make sense? Did I lose you? Are you following me? I hope that made sense, but that's the way I was looking at it. Leprosy, sin, blood of Jesus, Jordan River, and he's the only one that can cure. You did not have to do that.
You wrote that down really well. I'm going to have to steal that. Yeah, most definitely. I hope they got it. If they ain't get it, shame on them. But yeah, that was definitely well said. And because you said it so well, I just want everyone to know that, you know, Kay just got an opportunity to teach next Thursday somewhere. Let me do this. I outrank you right now. But no, you did that so beautifully. But no, the Lord is using you. And I'm just sitting back listening to you do this. And it's a blessing for me. And I ain't just saying it to, you know, get any points. I do, you know, I ain't got to do all that. But it's a blessing to hear you break the word down the way you break it down. And then you have people calling you to teach certain Bible studies. To me, it's a blessing. And I just want to say thank you for being obedient to the Lord and letting the Lord use you the way he wants to use you. I know you don't like all this attention and everything, but hey, when you start running for the Lord, you just got to do what the Lord tells you to do, and sometimes the light going to shine on you. It ain't going to always shine on you, but at this time it's shining on you, so you just better eat the sign up while it's shining on you, because pretty soon, you know, the enemy is going to come and try to put a lot of doubt and fear in you. So why people can encourage you and bless you, and why we got the listeners now. I just want them to encourage you and continue to bless you, because I believe you're doing an awesome job. You don't need me. You can do this by yourself. And I just truly do mean that. I'm just really in the way. But at the same time, what you just said makes sense. You definitely have to, the only way you can do anything is you got to be dipped in the blood of Jesus. That's what, that cleanses everything. That makes you, you know, I know I'm clean. And my dirty mind, dirty thoughts, all this stuff that's going through my head that ain't right, I know that the Lord, because of the blood of Jesus, is the reason that cleanses me up on a day in and day out basis. It's the blood of Jesus. It ain't got nothing to do with no tricks of the trade. Not because I called my bishop and talked to him on the phone. He ain't got nothing to do. Ain't no pastor. Ain't no free. It's just because of the blood of what Jesus Christ does, what cleanses me and makes me right and puts me in the right frame of mind to do what the Lord wants me to do. Just like he's using you tonight to teach or to help people, you know, understand that, you know, whatever they're going through, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. The blood of Jesus will get you to that next level. The blood of Jesus will mend your family together. The blood of Jesus will cure if you do got a disease, cancer, colds, whatever it may be, breaking generational curses. The blood of Jesus will cancel all of that out. There's only one step. It's just between the blood of Jesus and your belief. If you believe in the blood of Jesus, upon your belief, you shall be healed. That's not Derek saying it. That's the word of God.
Thank
by
God.
His stripes, we are healed. So we got to understand that it ain't got nothing to do with how deep you are in the word. It's just if you believe in the blood of Jesus, that's all it's about, is the blood of Jesus. All this other stuff, yeah, it makes sense and we need it. But to be honest with you, if you just believe in the blood of Jesus, it kind of makes everything else all right. It's not that hard. It's not that deep. That's why we need to stop acting. And when I say us, I'm talking about certain people act like we more than that, more than what we should be, because we know a few scriptures. That's why I'm so glad I stutter. I'm so glad I'm not the most educated person in the world, because if the Lord can bless someone like me, I know he can bless someone that's sitting out there that's more qualified than I am to do this. Because I ain't qualified to do none of the stuff I'm got going on. I'm not. Someone addressed me as the CEO of Chaos Talk, and I laughed at it. I'm like, well, you better, I don't know about all that, because I'm not in the title. but if you allow Christ to lead you, he'll put you in position that you didn't even think you would be able to be in. So when I say I'm thankful tonight, that we're able to give scholarships, if you only knew the way that I went to school, if you only knew how hard it was for me, I didn't even know I graduated from college. I didn't know. I was trying so many hard ways to cheat to get out of it. When I went to register for school, they said, what you doing? You done. I said, what you mean I'm done? You graduated. I didn't even know. My wife said, don't tell that story, but it's the truth. I got a degree and didn't even know I had a degree. And yes, when I grew up going into the ninth grade, huh? I just want to share it with people because they need to understand how out there blessed. No, I'm just saying, in the ninth grade, I was on the third grade leading level. I was leading on the third grade lead, and the only reason they let me go to the real ninth grade because I was good in football. And they told my mother that I was going to flunk out of school. He will flunk out, and the only place he'll be able to work is a gas station. And I never remember sitting talking to a counselor saying, you'll probably never be able to go on vacation. That's what they told me. And since they told me that, every time I go on vacation, I always go buy me a soda. And the reason I buy a soda, I pay the full price for it. If it's $5 at Disneyland when we went, I paid $5. My wife looked at me like I was crazy. It had nothing to do with it. It just had to do with what people said I couldn't do. And I do everywhere I go. If that remembrance comes in my mind, I do that to remind myself the Lord did this for you. And what I'm trying to say is to someone out there today, don't be discouraged by the position you're in because you have something. You may have some sin that people see every day. It's okay. It's okay. Just believe that you got to do. The only way you can get cured of it is through the blood of Jesus, and you'll be all right. And keep claiming the blood of Jesus, until you get that thing healed, until you get that thing cleaned all the way up. Keep bleeding it, because it may take a while.
What did the pop have to do with you? What? Help me understand the reason for the pop. Did they tell you couldn't drink pop?
Uh-huh. No, the reason for the pop, because of the price and because they said I could never do it. And when I go and I do it, it's a reminder of myself of this is what the Lord has done for you. I can do it. Or sometimes you buy something and you don't get it on sale. The Lord bless you to do it. You ain't bragging because you bought it full price. You're doing it because people say you couldn't do it. And if you ever had a situation where you had people telling you your whole life you wasn't going to be nothing, you wasn't going to accomplish nothing, you wasn't going to go nowhere, and when you start to see the Lord move you, it's just a little thing. You know what? I'm going to enjoy what the Lord blessed me with. Not because to prove anybody wrong, it's to give the Lord the glory. So no one know about why I do what I do. It's between me and the Lord. And when you got that one-on-one with the Lord, like I have, I talk to the Lord like I talk to you. And the Lord said, you want to go buy you a soda, go buy you a soda. And when I do that, I know the people that's on the diabetic and telling me lose weight, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Well, you know, they told Jesus he shouldn't heal someone on the Sabbath day. But he healed them on the Sabbath day. So what I'm saying is sometimes it don't always go the way we religious people want it to go. Sometimes the Lord will do things a little out of them, a little different. And it's okay if you do it different. It's okay if you act different. It's okay if you shout different. It's as long as you believe in the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus is cleansing you, and you believe that, you all right. You all right. You ain't got to necessarily dress like Brother Oliver or believe what Brother Oliver believes. You all that's, because the rest of it is really, I ain't going to say it doesn't matter, but if you just believe in the blood of Jesus, we all right. We on the same team. I ain't got nothing else to say, Kay. I'm done.
If I can sum it up a little bit with Naaman, the story of Naaman and his leprosy, if I can just say God has a purpose for each turn in your life. So there is no mistakes. The young girl getting kidnapped, all of that was for a reason. So there's no challenge in a Christian's life that's without divine purpose and approval. So God knows what he's doing. Trust the process. If you're going down a path and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know if I can do this, trust God. And I'm speaking to myself as well. Have to trust God, because if we keep looking at the situation and our circumstances, we won't ever get there. We'll always say, but this and but that and but this. We got to trust God. God know what he's doing. Nothing happens by accident. We may not like some of the things that happen, but things happen for a reason. So just trust God with the process. And at the end of the day, like I said earlier, God can use anybody, any situation, any circumstance. He can use anything, so and anyone. And the only thing we need to do is just trust and believe and humble ourselves. You got to humble yourself. You got to say, hey, I'm not all that. Let me go have a seat. Let me go sit down and learn something. Maybe somebody got a better way for me to do this. So humble yourself. And at the end of the day, God cannot be bought. No matter what you do, no matter how you do it, you can't pay the price. Jesus paid it all. There's nothing you can pay. It's already paid for. All you need to do is trust God and do it his way. And the last thing I'm going to say is the only way that we can get through a lot of the things that we go through is to keep it simple. It don't take all that. Just do what the Lord says. If God tells you to do A, do A. You ain't got to go all the way around the bout and do all this extra stuff. Just do what he says and just keep it simple. I had a little acronym here. It says KISS. Keep it simple, saint. KISS. That's it. I know back in the day it stood for something else, but I'm going to change it. Keep it simple, saint. That's all we got to do. And I pray that y'all got something out of this message tonight. Let the blood of Jesus do all the cleaning that you need. Go take a dip. All right, I'm gonna
Oh, you ain't. We good. We right on time. It's 8 o'clock and we are done. I hope y'all enjoyed what you got today. Most importantly, I just ask for y'all to keep my wife encouraged. Because like I said before, we got offered to go to Chicago, but we had to turn that down because I'm going to Chicago in the winter. But at the same time, people listen to us, and you get a lot of people in the very beginning was questioning my wife, questioning whether she can do this. And if you see, I'm just sitting back in the cut because I'm a preacher at heart. Not a good teacher. I'm a preacher at heart. I can preach. I feel I can preach. I know I've been called to preach. I'm really not a good teacher, but you can hear her teaching and got her facts, her scriptures. She'd be ready to roll. It's exciting to see your mate excited about the Lord. If no, nothing else, excited about the Lord. Because I know when the Lord blesses her, and because I'm right next to her, I'm going to get blessed too. So when her cup runneth over, I'm going to get some of the overflow. That's why, and one of the things we try to teach other people, other couples, is if one is doing something, you sit right there long enough with them, you'll get the overflow. You'll get blessed too. You'll be encouraged too. But if you do it together, you become what these young people call now power couples. And to become a power couple is really nothing but being in the Lord together, doing it together, praying together, living your life together for the Lord. Not our will, but His will be done. And if you can do that, you should be able to withstand anything that come up against you. And I'm not saying now, speaking from experience now. Last Thursday night, I preached so hard, I was so tired, I was so drained. The devil came right in and slept right into my head. I had to talk to my wife. I said, something just don't feel right. And I didn't feel right because the devil was trying to get me down. You qualified to give a scholarship, and everyone wanted about scholarship. How do you get it? Well, if you know the Father, and the Father tells me to give you a scholarship, I give you a scholarship. I'm totally led by the Lord. There is no, however the Lord leads me, that's how I'm being led. So don't try to get in my brain. Don't try to get in my pocket because I'm listening to who the Lord tells me to do who for. And the three young ladies, I just want to commend them again. I'm not going to mess up y'all's name because I will do that in a heartbeat. They know who they are. The Lord will bless them and lead them and guide them to another level, and I'm sure of that. But as sure as I'm giving these scholarships out, I have two boys that has to see what I'm doing. And somewhere along the line in their life, they're going to have to give back too. So I'm doing this because the Lord lead me to do it, but I'm also trying to set a legacy for my boys. So when they see that, oh, my dad gave out these scholarships, that somewhere along their life and their journey, if the Lord should tarry, that will fall on them as well. That's why I work so hard for the Lord. I preach so hard for the Lord. For the Lord is because at the end of the day, I have boys looking at me, seeing how I do things. And I want to make sure that they know that their dad is sold out for the Lord, sold out. I ain't playing and jigging and jabbing around like some of these other preachers is doing. I'm sold out. And majority of stuff I do is because the Lord is telling me to do it. And if you ain't doing what the Lord is telling you to do, you got to do it in a confined compartment of where you serve the Lord at. Something's wrong with your relationship with the Lord. Because everyone should be wide open right now with serving the Lord. Everyone should be wide open. So say this and I'm going to get out of here. Kay, the pastor did a challenge of y'all praying every night with your family. Get in a circle and pray. It's a 7-day challenge. We're going to challenge it again for every family to get together, form a circle, and pray every night. Just do it for 7 days and see how it impacts your life. Try it. Let me know next week how it turned out. Email me. Tell me if you got anything out of it. Do it 7 days. And if you do it for 7 days, I guarantee you, you will feel lighter. You will feel lighter. When you feel burdened down at right now, you will feel lighter. So for all those that's listening now that haven't heard, pray with your family. You want to pray at night, pray every night. You want to pray in the morning, pray every morning. Just do it as a family together. Do a little prayer together. Give God that reverence. And I guarantee you,
toward the middle of the week, your load feel a little bit lighter. I can guarantee you that. But with that being said, we're done for the night. Join us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. You got Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary and his minister team will be on at 7 p.m. sharp tomorrow night for an awesome Bible study. And I'm going to tell you this, too. For those that don't go to church, just listen to Bible study. Just make it a habit to listen to Bible study. If you listen to the Bible study, I guarantee you this, too. On Tuesday night, listen to Bible study. Listen to about four Bible studies. All you need is four. I guarantee you your walk with Christ will be totally different if you start listening to Bible study. Start tomorrow night. Listen to Bible study. 7 p.m. Same station, same phone number. Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, the website, get it online, or you go to 845-277-9094. 845-277-9094, just to listen. And people who listen to the Bible study all over the country enjoy the Bible study. If they think they think that I'm a scholar and that the people that teach Bible studies are scholars, we ain't got but one scholar on there, and that's the rabbi. And I think he's teaching them all night. Elder Bluett is teaching them all night. He can teach. I'm not going to even lie. He's a teacher. So tomorrow night would be a good night to start listening to Bible study, because he's going to break the word down, and he does it with a lot of compassion and a lot of you can hear his story. Good brother, and he can break the word down. I don't just say this because I don't say this about everybody, but he'll be able to break the word down, and he's very excited. And then you have the rest of the elders and evangelist team that's there. Evangelist Stanton, she's a body. She comes up with shots that hit you right in the gut. It's just a good word all the way around. Mm-hmm. So listen to the Bible study tomorrow night, and then you'll have on Wednesday night you have Elder Bazaar and Watchman on the Wall. Then we go right back to Thursday night. You have Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary on. A good praise and worship service on Thursday night. Listen to it on Thursday night. They are off the chain. And you want some good old church, that's what it is. It's just good old church, that you're going to get a word. You're going to be blessed. You're going to get a word. And just watch the family. Just watch. The keyboard, drum, it's just a family affair. And if you want to hear it, Thursday night is a good night to have a good, you know, getting fall, getting a little chilly outside. You ain't put your best pajamas on and get in front of the screen and go to Facebook Live or come right back to the Blog Talk and listen to a good service on Thursday night. And then they'll back on again on Sunday morning services, on Sunday morning at 11 p.m. With all that being said, me and Kay want to thank all y'all for listening. We appreciate you. We love you. Good looking out. Hopefully you learned something tonight. If you didn't learn something, give us another try next Monday. We'll have something else for you for D&K Bible Break. We just appreciate you. We love you. And with that being said, we are out. Everyone have a good, blessed night.
Trust God.